One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. Uzi Music Mania. We are going to talk the greatest AOR albums of all time. My top 20. So it's not the, it's my top 20 favourite AOR albums of all time. Album-oriented rock, FM radio, as cool and corporate as you want it to be. And almost every album had the Wing logo. I don't know what that was about. But we'll let it slide because guess what? This genre was about class, it was about heart, and it was about... This was when you really had to play. This was when you had to know your instruments. And if you couldn't just sing, you had to be able to sing, like pelt it. And a lot of the singers in this, even though some were Lou Gramm wannabes, and if you weren't a Steve Perry style, you was a Lou Gramm. It doesn't matter, Lou Graham, however you say it, from Foreigner. All of the artists in this genre, you had to pelt it. You had to have some talent. Some milked it. The real ones were really good. But you had to have talent. You had to be able to sing. And it wasn't just about being pretty good. You had to be damn good to get into this particular field of playing. And production had to be great. Guitaring had to be magnificent. It all had to be top notch. The songwriting had to be there. The melodies, the groove, the cheese had to be top of the range cheese. Pilgrim's choice. Anyway, my favourite 20. So it doesn't have to be yours, but I derive it from magazines, Loudwire, whatever sites, and then say you take the top 50 and then build it into your own. I've done the 20 because I can't just do 15. Some artists have to get in here. At number 20. We have Diving for Pearls from 1989. And this is like Delamitri, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard. It has the hooks, the Def Leppard hooks. Gimme! Sounds a bit like Wet, Wet, Wet as well. That late, nearly early 90s style 89 of just cute choruses, really polished. But Diving for Pearls, self-titled, is a worthwhile listen. It definitely makes my top 20 greatest because from the beginning right through to the end, it's really catchy and infectious. It's really poppy. I really like it. A lot of the songs on this album I can remember, but more as a kid. And you think, yeah, God, where did... That's them. It was one of them because you all, I sort of like Soul Asylum and Delamitri, a lot of them bands where you couldn't quite put the name on them at the time. But then it clicks and it's like, yeah, Diving for Pearls and Gimme Your Lovin', Gimme, yeah. Did it be the matter? Did it? The songs stick. These were one of them that came a little late to the genre. But as an album, which we're getting on, fantastic album, New Moon, great song, Close Your Eyes, there's some really good guitar work, it's got that serious tone, but it's also got the poppiness, and it's a fantastic AOR album, in my opinion. At number 20, Diving for Pearls, highly recommended. If you like Jovi, you like Def Leppard, you like Bryan Adams, you Delamitri, great. Great album. At number 19, Loverboy from Canada. I mean, these were huge at the time. These were out way just before your Bon Jovi's, produced by Bruce Fairbrain. A little bit of knowledge for you there. And Get Lucky, Loverboy with Get Lucky from 1981. This is a really good album, guys. It's catchy. It's just well produced as well. It's really produced really well. Working for the Weekend
great opener. When It's Over is a colossal song. It's really, it's got some powerful melodies. And if you've not heard it, where have you been? It's one of them when you hear it and you think, yeah, again, it'll just, it takes you. This is just a well-crafted pop rock AOR. It's got everything you need. The vocals are there. The laser guitar work. Gangs in the Street. There's some, this is cheese to the max, but it works and it's a good album. Get Lucky. Check it out by Loverboy. At number 18, it's a band from Oldham, funnily enough. And I'm not putting them in cause of from Oldham. I'm putting them in because I was surprised how good this album is. It's Dare with Out of the Silence. Now, it's rare a band from Oldham, to me, have that American-style talent, because I'm used to most bands from Oldham being crap and like indie-based and all wanting to be either Oasis or the Arctic Monkeys, because I'm a 90s kid. I was born in 84, but I was a 90s kid. But growing up, everyone wants to be the indie kids. I like Dare because they have that, they sound like Simple Minds mixed with Nightwish, mixed with a bit of Whitesnake. They've got the Celtic vibe in there, the synthesizer vibe. It sounds like you're listening to a game at some times. But this album is powerful. The Rain Dance is really, really good. And if you don't know, the singer was in Thin Lizzy. Now you do, Darren Wharton, he was in Thin Lizzy, he was the keyboard player, and he got together with Brian Cox from Oldham. They're from Failsworth, and I didn't know, and what's cool is, it's like, yeah, an Oldham band with that American sound, and 89 was just that year, 88, 89, where maybe it was too late for the bands like that to do that, because grunge just killed a lot of it, basically, and bad record labels and things like that, we know about this. Rock Candy, one of them labels, notorious for killing careers. Some helped, some didn't, but a lot of it has to do with that, band decisions and record company executive decisions. We'll keep you popular enough, but if you're not doing the units we want because we don't push you, then bye-bye. Go sell vending machines or something. It's what a drummer out of Rat did. That happens, that's the harsh reality of a genre. That's it, we don't need you no more, son. Did you know that Warren one year had Cherry Pie on the wall? Then when they went back the next year to do the, you know, go into the office, recording office and all that, the label office, Alice in Chains was on there with Dirt. And it's like, see you boys, nice knowing you. Yeah, there's not much we can do for you now. That's the industry. But as an album, Out of the Silence is really good. It's got heart, it's got soul, it's got fantastic vocals, and it's got a good feel, like I said, bit of Simple Minds in there as well. And the Lizzy with the Whitesnake, and a bit like the Cult. At number 17, New England, really good album, really, really catchy album. New England, self-titled from 1979. They supported Paul Stanley. They supported Kiss. Was produced by Paul Stanley. They supported Kiss when Kiss was sort of flagging in the 80s and sucking. But maybe the wrong time for that. But this album, it sounds like ELO. It's ELO meets Queen. It's just got catchiness, whirlwind catchiness all over it. Really good ambition, a really fun album at number 17 by New England. I gave more to Dare because they're from Oldham, you know, there's more relation. But New England, from 1979, self-titled at 17. At number 16, self-titled Toto. And You Wasn't in Kansas No More. This is a really good debut album. Total, I'll just say, are more than just like a band. They are studio musicians, and if you don't know, they played on Thriller by Michael Jackson. These guys weren't just a rock band of AOR. They were fantastic musicians. They could write. They could do anything. Jazz, funky, Beatles style. A really talented band. No more so than on this album. Well, on five as well. This is brilliant. It's really, really well crafted, really spacey. Recommend it. And it makes it in my top 20 because it's a journey. Which takes us to number 15. Journey, Raised on Radio. This was their last studio album before they got Artem, but that doesn't count for actual Journey. And I love it. I love it. This is really translucent, really cool. It's got Be Good to Yourself as a lead-off single, but it's got some truly good pop rock AOR stuff here. They were just class. Journey were probably one of the best at this, and Raised on Radio from 1986 is at number 15. It's quality. It's such a good listen. Really, really strong songs. Really well crafted. Mature as well. Has that more mature vibe. Journey could capture a Motown crowd. Like they could capture a country one or a hard rock. They could just do all that. Yeah, because they were the kings of corporate rock and it works. They were the kings of the corporation, basically. They really were. But Raised on Radio is a phenomenal listen. If you're not just going for, if you want that easy listening with the rock, this is perfect. At number 14, from 1984, not in many people's list, but I'll put this in the list because it is AOR, but it has the country. It's Don Henley with Building the Perfect Beast, with arguably one of the greatest songs of the 80s, Boys of the Summer. The Boys of the Summer. It's all about innocence and things. What a song. Building the Perfect Beast is a perfect beast. It's an electrifying AOR album. Don's voice, crisp but never straining. Strong but never trying.
Bluetooth mode.
It just works. Building the Perfect Beast is a fucking good album. All She Wants to Do is Dance. Down at the Sunset Grill. Don't know. So some great keyboard. There's some truly good songs on here. And it's just a journey. It's got the ballads. But it's also got the cheese. The yuppie rock with the ballads. Perfect at number 14. And number 13, Night Ranger. With Midnight Madness from 1983. I was shocked by this album because I thought I'll try them out. Like, obviously, this album kicks ass. This album kicks AOR metal. It kicks AOR steel, man. This is an album. In fact, I don't know why I put it below the first album, but it... Just that I slightly edged you first, but this is quality AOR. Again, it's just got the blue collar and the great choruses, great hooks, great energy about Night Ranger, and what a fun album. At number 13, Midnight Madness. At number 12, Mister from 1983, Welcome to the Real World. From 85. Welcome to the Real World. Kaylee and Broken Wings, which people think that's Richard Marx, but it's not. It's Mr. Kaylee Lennon and the road that I must travel. And then you've got to take these broken wings, learn to fly again. Not only that, you've got some other really good strong songs on this album. The cover's cool. It's new wave. It's got a little bit of synth in there. Well, a lot. It's got some really good vocals. And it's got hit after hit after hit. It's like car radio stuff, but it's also got sonic elements. I highly recommend this at number 12 from 1985, Welcome to the Real World by Mr. Mister, at number 11. Getting to the nitty gritty now of the AOR madness. Giant with Last of the Runways. Woo! What an AOR album! Now, when we're talking strong vocals, this guy tore it up. Like, this guy. 1989. I see you live my dreams. He rips the vocals out, and I love the attitude because it's basically about your missus cheating on you, and yeah, a divorce or whatever. A lot of turbulence. White boys got it rough too, man. We may not be street, but we got a heartache, and that's what Giant we're getting at. Really, really strong anthems all the way through this album. You gotta listen to this album to believe it. You will listen to it and go, yeah, I know that. Because this stuff was all over MTV, but it's one of them you have to recollect and go, was that them? Yeah, that was Giant. Again, 89 rock, grunge killed it. But they had the chops, and all over this album is power ballad after big sound, and it's rootsy and it's bluesy, but it's powerhouse rock, and I can't recommend this highly enough. At number 11, Giant with Last of the Runways. Top 10. At number 10, from 1977, we've got Foreign, self-titled. I mean, Cold as Ice. Feels like the first time. Star Rider, Rider, Rider. A long way from home. Long, long way from home. That was something. Catchy, funky, R&B, groovy. Foreigner were the real deal, like. They really were. If not for other albums, they'd be at the top, but there was just other albums that just slightly better, but Foreigner, self-titled, was the game changer for me. For AOR, this is like the game changer. This is the one where this was one of the few bands that mixed the R&B with the blues and the rock, especially later on songs like Urgent, and just funky as well. Really good relationship between keyboard and vocals, and just great hooks. Really hypnotic were Foreigner with that. Really obscure keyboard parts. So what set them apart? They were just craftier than a lot of the bands in the bracket. Great album, Foreigner self-titled. The cover is just guys with suitcases. Could they be foreigners? Right, at number 9. With Dawn Patrol from 1982, we have Night Ranger again. Night Ranger, surprisingly, are really good at AOR. Like, they were really one of the better bands. And this album is just laced with energy and hooks. Great, great songs. That's all I can say about Night Ranger. It just took me by surprise. Dawn Patrol is... I think they are better than a lot of the bands in the list of show. That's why they're so far up. They have the energy with the great work ethic as well. You can hear that. A lot of passion in Night Ranger. And just fucking good songs. Which takes us to number 8. REO Speedwagon. I Am Fidelity. I mean, on anyone else's list, this would be number 1. But on my list, it just don't quite... This is... We're talking Uzi's list here. We ain't talking Rolling Stone. We ain't talking Loudwire. Uzi's list. It's a little more cutthroat, but it's a little more honest as well. I'll say that. High Infidelity, REO Speedwagon. Should have seen by the look in your eyes, baby. Yeah. His voice is a little more high pitch and yeah, darky, but sort of like Giddy Lee style from Rush. But REO Speedwagon, I Am Fidelity, what an album. Keep On Loving You, Don't Go, The Letter, I think that's on my, yeah. Really good album. Again, sort of like the game changer for this style, because this song was writ with the vocals, and it was like, well, how are we going to do this? So the guitar player was like, well, can't, this is pompous, how are we going to do this? What he did, just threw the guitar in, doo-doo! And there you have the power ballad, that's it. That's the power ballad. He's doing this, and then the guitarist goes, how do we make this rock? Doo-doo! That's it. At number 8. At number 7. Journey with Frontiers from 1983. I mean, the decision not to play, put Ask the Lonely and Only the Young on the original release was a record executive balls up our producer. They decided last minute to can them and use them as separate songs for singles in movies. Why? This album would have been one of the best of all time if them two were still on it. And the sad thing is about Only the Young, it was used when a kid was dying, and they used it to play him he was the first one to hear it, see it on Behind the Music with Journey. It's really sad. But the album as a whole is fantastic. Separate Ways, Here We Stand. The keyboard sounds like King of the Kickboxers. You killed my brother. Do, 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 do. It's got that. I call it Thailand synthesizer. I don't know why. Because it reminds me of every frigging kickboxer movie. That's why Separate Ways reminds me of Here We Stand. Could be on a B movie. Definitely all the cheap martial arts movies. But what a song and what a way to open it. And Frontiers, faithfully, for me, is just as good as Open Arms. I think it's one of their best songs. It's so well sung by Steve Perry. This album is class. In fact, it may go above the album next, but I got the order mixed. Who cares? At number 6, it's Toto with 5. At number 6, Rosanna is such a good song. It really is. And not even, oh man, it's so good. And not even Africa. There's so other good songs on this album, but Rosanna for me is killer. Toto are brilliant. And this from 1982 is such a good album. The playing, the funkiness, everything again, it's just well crafted. And they're easy to listen to, Toto, because their harmonies are absolutely killer. At number 4. Oh, sorry, at number 5. With 4. It's all got a bit confusing with a numbers game. We have Foreigner. With 4. What an album this is. Urgent. It's got Urgent on it. It's Girl on the Moon. I've been waiting for a girl like you. Waiting for a girl. Jukebox Hero. The cheese is in full effect on this album, and they really took the studio sound to the next level, Foreigner, and this album is so enjoyable to listen to. Luan. Now we're talking. Yeah, this was Foreigner's peak album for me. If you wanted an album to describe Foreigner, this was it from 1981. At number 4, this is Magic in a Cup or in a Glass. This maybe for other people would be high up in the list, but this gets to number 4 for me because it's such a great listen. It's Asia, self-titled from 1982. Magic. It's such a lovely listen and it's well played. Scope's great. Takes you on a trip. It's got proggy elements. Great, spacey, but never too pretentious with a prog. Just has enough of it. I can't recommend this album out highly enough. Just say listen to it. Splendid. At number three, it's Journey with Escape from 1981. This was Neil Schon and Steve Perry's masterpiece. I don't know, actually. Frontiers still rocks for me, but Escape with Don't Stop Believing. Then obviously you've got Open Arms, Stone Love, Escape the song. Will there be for it? There's Mother, Father. Oh, so many good songs on this album. So well produced, so spacey. And it's just fantasy. And what I will say about a lot of these bands, they all played with a sense of passion and sang with passion. There was no trying to be cool here. It was just guys. There was a blue grassroots, a blue collar thing where we're just going to play to our best abilities and rock. And that's what you get from this. There's no pretentiousness on any of these albums. It's just play to as good as you can. And this album from Journey is phenomenal. Escape, 1981. And number two is an album which nobody will believe is at number two, but I put it there. It's Loverboy, self-titled, from 1980. And Turn Me Loose. What a song. The video, everything about this song is so epic. Even though it's cheese. From the bass right through to the vocals. That was down. Everything, the drumming. It's like double kick all the way through. More or less. It's got that really night, really AOR sound, really nighttime, working in the club sound, but it's also got the epic sound as well with the keyboards. And this self-titled debut album by Loverboy is really, really good. Prissy, Prissy, Always On My Mind. Just some really strong. It's got a dark vibe, this album. Really strong dark vibe to it. I can't recommend it highly enough. Loverboy from 1980. Which takes us to number one. And I'm sure you know what this is. The more you listen to this, the better it gets. Go past More Than a Feeling. And this is the greatest AOR album of all time. It's Boston from 1976. I mean, I'm sure people at the time when they first heard this were blown away. I can't imagine. Yeah, it's such a good album. More Than a Feeling. Peace of Mind. A lot of the riffs now, when you listen to them, if you listen to bands like Trivium, a lot of bands do that. The riffage, the style riffing, which Tom Scholz plays, is very influential on metal. It's like a pull-off hammer-on effect. It's a style of guitar playing what a lot of definitely Euro metal bands took. Final Countdown bands like bloody called. Europe, a lot of bands like this and death metal bands use that style riffage, but sonically this album is so important for the industry because this album took rock to the new stratospheres. High Road, Somebody Told You, Peace of Mind, oh, so good, so good. The harmonies, the scope, the imagination, just more than a feeling, is probably the greatest One Hit Wonder. Well, not the greatest song ever. I say One Hit Wonder because people will always cast it. This album is great. Even the second album's great. Even the third with Rosanna. But people always categorise Boston in that One Hit Wonder vibe because of More Than a Feeling. Man, this album's one of the greatest albums of all time. It's so good. The singing, the vocals, the scope. Everything about this album is fantastic. Like, I can't recommend this album highly enough. More Than a Feeling is that good. You think other songs aren't going to be as good. Guys, peace of mind. It's just ambition and a producer's dream. It really is. And this was the start for bands thinking about how they were going to produce and layer songs as opposed to just write a few chords down. This was production majesty. This was production 101. And Schultz built his studio in his Boston home, I think, hence Boston. And yeah, to think somebody could do that, if you listen to it now, man, I won't say it sounds fresh, but I would say it sounds really fucking good and ambitious. If you listen to it, you'll go, whoa, like, just like Asia, it takes you to that place, baby. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed it. At number one, Boston. So we'll do the countdown again. Diving for Pearls, 20. At 19, Loverboy. 18, Dare. At 17, New England. At 16, Toto with Toto. At 15, Journey, Raised on Radio. At 14, Don Henley, Building the Perfect Beast. At 13, Night Ranger, Midnight Madness. At 12, Mr. Mister, Welcome to the Real World. 11, Giant, Last of the Runaways. At 10, Foreigner, self-titled. 9, Night Ranger. 8, REO Speedwagon. 7, Journey. 6, Toto. 5, Foreigner. 4, Asia. 3, Journey Escape. 2, Loverboy. And 1, Boston. A lot of these were self-titled. It was a time when music was real. As cheesy as it did get, at least it was some sort of ethic behind it. The lyrics were hopeful, even if they was about love or they was about, there was real stories, and the music, it was authentic. It may have balladry, it may have power ballads, but it was meant with the right purpose of trying to make people emotional, and that's what all good tunes do. And for that, this stands a test of time. AOR. Thanks for listening, guys. Grab a beer and listen to the list. May take you a few days, but yeah, do it. Just get a case, don't you? Get a crate and enjoy the journey to Boston. Peace, guys. One love, and stay safe.